Morning, saints. God bless you. Amen. Trust that you all are doing well in the name of the Lord. Amen. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? And we'll ask Brother Mike Mabe if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together this morning, Father, and letting your traveling mercies be upon us, Lord.
Yes.
We can come to worship you, Father, and give you thanks.
Yes.
For letting us be a living soul this morning, Father. And Lord, we just pray that you'll have your preeminence in this Sunday school, Lord, and you'll speak through your servant who's prepared, Lord, and got himself out of the way to bring forth your word this morning, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, that's why we're here, to receive from your word, Father, and help us cast away the things and cares of this life, Father, that we can receive instruction and words that are eternal, Father, that will help us in our walk and to become more like you, Father.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that you'll please forgive us of our iniquities, Lord, and our sins, Father. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Father, change us and mold us and shape us into what you want us to be. Lord, yes. We love you and we give you the honor and praise. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We can turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations chapter 10. Revelations chapter 10. Revelations chapter 10. Just read a few scriptures out of here. I know it's very familiar for most of us. And so, starting with verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Praise the Lord. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I just like to take a subject this morning, the revelation of Jesus Christ in you, in the bride. The revelation of Jesus Christ in you, in the bride. So just to lay something down, just as a foundation, just very briefly, we are very familiar with the scripture of Revelation 10. And I just want to just lay something, a background real briefly, and then we'll go on with this message. But as we know, in the beginning of the book of Revelations, there were the church ages that were laid out. And then John, who represents the bride, was caught up to heaven. And so Brother Branham talks about that being like a rapture caught up. And then he was able to see things that he wasn't able to see before. And so he saw the throne, he saw the beast, he saw eventually Jesus Christ there. Right? And when he saw Jesus Christ, he knew that before that, that there was a book that had the key to the redemption, the saving of the people of God, but it was closed, and so he wept because no man could open it, when we know that Jesus Christ was the only one that was worthy to do that. And so because he was worthy, because he gave his life, he paid the price of redemption, then that book was able to be opened, right? And so that book started to be opened, and it was shown in Revelations chapter 6, 7, and 8. And so we know those to be the seals, and that was the opening of the mystery of God. And so that was God revealing what his plan was for his people and to show who his people were and how he was going to bring them out. And, you know, each one of the children of God represents a seed. Each one of the children of God represents a word of God, a part of him, do you understand? An attribute of him. And so his attributes have been dispersed from time from the beginning of Genesis to the book of Revelations. And so I believe you and I are a part of those attributes. And so, but it was hidden what was happening there. And God was going to reveal it at the end time, right? But these attributes, these pieces of the Word of God, these parts of God were to be unfolded and shown to us. So we know that we move on to Revelation chapter 10, and we know that this angel that came down, he was Jesus Christ. And so he was coming down, it was Christ coming down to the earth, right? And as Brother Branham said, it was God condescending down to man. And so remember in the message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and he said that was one of his capstone messages. But he was showing that God had a plan, he had a purpose. And so he wanted to express himself, but he also wanted to express himself in you and I. So he wanted to express himself throughout the scriptures in these attributes, and that he wanted to express himself in you and I, but the only way that he could do that was for him to have total preeminence. That means lordship over our life. And when that happened, then he would begin to be able to be unfolded in you and I. But it had to take that to occur for God to be manifested through us and shown to us, right? But it's a mystery. And so it's only those who are part of Christ that can actually see that mystery unfolding itself. And so you see that in Revelation 10, there was a book, but it wasn't closed, it was open. And Brother Branham talks about how our names, the predestinated children of God, were in that book, right? And so now that book is open to reveal who is in that book. Do you understand? So these things are all, you know, this is not something that, you know, Brother Branham was making up. This is not something surely that I had made up, but this is something that God was unfolding at the present time and hour, because there was a time for this to occur. And so this book then is now open, and it took Jesus Christ to open it. And now that it's open, then remember, a thunder represents the voice of God. And so these thunders uttered, and that was the voice of God showing what he had done all along, right? And Brother Bam says that these thunders, they were the seals revealed. But they were sealed, as you saw in the scripture there. But now that God was condescending down to the earth, so he was making himself known to you and I. So he came at God, and then he came in the form of man, Jesus Christ, and he came in the attributes of different children of God, and then he came in this last day to restore what was originally there in after Jesus ascended, and then the Holy Ghost came down in the book of Acts. And so now he's restoring through a ministry, and we know the word only comes to a prophet. So this book was open. Brother Branham didn't open this book, but God opened this book and handed it down to a prophet, because that's the channel that he works through. And then after that, then that book was then handed down to you and I. And so there is a mystery in this book, but part of the mystery is you and I, and we have to be revealed. Do you understand? See, Jesus Christ, he was already revealed in the form of a man. But now he is revealing himself in the form of the bride of Jesus Christ. And that form must be revealed once again. Jesus Christ must be revealed once again. And so now this, we are to take this book and we are to do something with it, right? And we are to take this revelation. Remember, this book was closed, but now it's opened. And it took Jesus Christ through a prophet to open the pages of this book and to reveal who Jesus Christ was and you and I in the scriptures. And so, but you see that this whole thing, and you know, it's only the children of God that will be able to see this. Everybody else is just going to think, you know, that what we're doing, this movement that we have, is some nice thing. You know, they're a nice bunch of people. They're kind, they're gentle. But that's not just it. You know, these people, God moves among them, they lay hands, and you know, people recover, and that's fine, but that happens everywhere else. But there's a people of God that become one with Him. And they display the very attributes of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read something here. This is from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. But all this mystery is revealed only as He promised to His bride. Hell is against this truth of the revelation of this mystery, but the bride is standing on it. That's her stand. Why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you. So He wants to give this to you. He wants you to know, because that's why He died. That's why all these things, this is supposed to happen right now. So He wants to reveal this to you. Now He goes on to say, but you let so many things get it out of you. You let your job, you let your wife, you let your husband, you let your children, and let the cares of the world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get that out of you, when you know that way down in your heart, you're thirsting, hungry. It's God trying to reveal it to you. See, the revelation, the last day is here. So there's a desire for God to give this to you. But there must be a corresponding desire in your heart for you to receive it. Do you understand? And so a true Christian is never satisfied, I believe. How can we be when we are so short of where we ought to be in Christ's vision of us, right? And so a true child of God is always asking the question of, you know, there must be something else that I must do. There must be something else that God must do in me. There is, you know, so much scripture, so much of the prophecy that's laid out for me to fulfill, right? And there's an urgency, and there's a hunger there inside. You see, if we're complacent and we're just satisfied where we're at, there's something wrong there. And so there's a hungering for God to reveal Himself through us, for us to fully manifest Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read a couple more things here. I just want to lay down that thought, because what God wants you and I to see is the full manifestation of ourselves, to see Christ, where we are to stand in our position. And I believe that God is going to be able to help us to see the others fulfilling that word itself. You know that eventually that we're going to see who the bride of Christ is. You know that, right? God revealed it to a prophet. When He went past the curtain of time, He was able to see people that were a part of this bride of Christ. And so he called them by name, different names that were up there. And so He gave a prophet that vision, right? And we know that there is scripture that shows that there are people, remember the types, remember types and shadows, they're not the very image, but they show something that's going to take place. But you look in the book of Matthew, around the time of the resurrection, what was happening, and remember that Jesus Christ was on the cross. And so when he was, as He was dying, He cried with a loud voice, right? And the scripture says that the earth shook. There was an earthquake that took place. And many that were in the grave arose and were seen by many, right? And so there was a voice that spoke the resurrection. And those bodies that were there in paradise, they were under the ground, that they were in Christ, they came up. And they were seen for a certain number of days. And Brother Branham talks about how they were around for 40 days or so, something like that. And they went with Jesus Christ in the rapture. So there's not just one rapture, there's different raptures. You know, Enoch was raptured, Elijah was raptured, Jesus Christ was raptured. They saw him go up to heaven. But these saints that came up, they went with him. And if you look, remember, we are the end time people, right? And so we have to see the scriptures that pertain to us. And so when we look in Thessalonians, and remember, just like Revelation 10, there was Christ descending. And he came with a shout. And then the voice of the archangel and a trump of God, right? Are we all together? We know the scripture, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. And Brother Branham, in the message of rapture, he brings out what that shout is. He said it is the message of the hour to call the bride out, right? Not just to call the bride out, but to bring her together. And so I believe that there is a unity that will happen amongst the bride of Christ, because that message was to do that. You know, God doesn't cause division, but he brings things together. He brings unity. And so that message was to bring the bride together. And he says that shout, or that voice, after the shout, was the voice of the resurrection. He likens it just like the days of Lazarus when he was in the grave, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And then he came. It was the voice of the resurrection. When Jesus was on the cross, he spoke. That was the voice of the resurrection. And so that caused him to cause the people to come up. And he says that same voice will happen in this day. But he says that same voice is in the bride of Jesus Christ. And so there is the taking of this book, where you take the word of God, you take this revelation, and it becomes a part of you, and then you will speak once more. The Lord will speak once more, but it will be the voice of God through the bride of Christ. Now, I'm going to read this in the Manifestation of the Spirit, 1951. He says, "Our master is lovely, isn't he now? See? Now, I do not know at this time what's wrong with you, but you are a believer." This is a prayer line. And there's something out in the audience pulling the same way. Now, it's a kindred spirit. It's something moving, the same thing that you have, see? See, spirits are kindred, just like you've heard birds of a feather. See, they go together. Now, there's two kinds of spirits, we know. There's the spirit of God and then there's the spirit of the devil. And so when he was talking about this, remember, these people had things that they were not well. They were sick. They had ailments and different things. And so remember that sickness and all these different things, whether they're ailments of the body or sickness of the spirit and different things, they are evil spirits that have attached themselves on. And so those spirits need to be cast out. But you know, when they came to the prayer line, they were getting exposed. And so, you know, when something's going to get exposed, they need help. They cry out for help. And so these demons that were on these people, they would cry out for help from these other demons that were out there. And so remember, just like as you and I, we need help from each other in prayers and different things, the demons are doing the same things, because we're fighting a battle, a spiritual battle. And so there's forces on each side. And so, you know, there's the devil and all his demons, or Jesus Christ and all the saints and the spirits of God and the angels and different things. But there's a clashing and there's a war going on. And so we must be aware of these spirits. It's not just, you know, we look carnally too much. We looked at too much at the physical. We've got to see things spiritually. But they're calling out for those kindred spirits to come so that they cannot be cast out. But you see, there's a kindred spirit of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to read that here. So, in another message, it says Daniel was a prophet that was carried from Jerusalem down into Babylon in the carrying away of Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a young fellow when he went down into Babylon. There was not many of them that had still holding out the grand old faith, like Daniel. I like Daniel because he had purposed that in his heart when he went down into Babylon that he was going to remain a believer and he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meats and so forth. And so you and I are in Babylon. You know, our pastor has been preaching on that we are in Babylon, right? And so, but Daniel was different in that he purposed in his heart that he was not going to be a part of Babylon. And so you and I must purpose in our heart that we are not going to be a part of this Babylon, but we are going to stand, even though it's against everything that we know outside. We've got to stand and purpose in our heart. And I believe the bride does that. Now, the very thing that Daniel was a prophet to the Gentiles, Daniel saw the Gentile age rise and fall. He was the first one to be, we call the Gentile prophet. He wasn't a Gentile himself, but he saw the Gentile dispensation from start to finish in the head of gold and ending up in the feet of iron and clay. And while down in there purposing in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat and with the king's affair. Another group of brother named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was down there with them, which was not prophets but believers. So they were seed of God. They were attributes of God that were there. You see, Daniel knew that they were children of God. Which was, okay, and they also purposed in their hearts. See, there was a unity there. They were the same mind, the same accord. And so they were agreeing together. They were purposing in their heart that they were not going to be a part of Babylon. But you see, look at the time that they were living in. So there were Babylon all around them. And they had a message that was from the prophet Moses, right? And they were holding on to that message, but there were believers all around them. When I say believers, that said that they believed that same message of the prophet, right? And so they were to follow this message, but they weren't following this message. You understand what I'm saying? They had the message, but they were not following it because there was not the desire in their heart. There was not something there. They didn't have the seed of God that there was there in Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so remember, the bride of Christ, it's a minority. I'm not trying to scare you at all, but I'm trying to merely repeat the scriptures and what the message of the hour is saying. But she stands out. And the closer that we get to the end, the more she's going to stand out, even amongst the believers. So he says, and when those four believers come together, I'd imagine quite oftenly they had prayer meetings together. Just like we do. We get together because we have things in common. So there was a desire in their heart to pray, you know. There was a desire in their heart. They had a hunger there. And there was something there that was different from the other believers that were around them. They did not make themselves this way, but it was God inside of them. It was driving. You see, we never came to this way. We never came to this light. We never came to this message. We never came to the Holy Ghost because we were looking for God. It was God that was drawing us in. It's God that's leading us forward, right? If we were going our own way, then we go into destruction. You know, you can even go that way with the message of the hour if you're going your own direction. That's why it's so important that we stay close to the Lord and the leading of the Spirit and the will of God. We talked about it one Sunday about, you know, what happened getting out of the will of God. It was a right motivation and objective, but it was out of the will of God. It caused death and destruction. Now he says here, we're talking about when David was trying to move the ark. Now he says here, just like we do, we get together because we have things in common. You know, there's an old slogan that says, birds of a feather flock together. And that's an old proverb, rather. And that's a pretty good thing, too. Birds of a feather flock together. Aren't you happy for that? Sure, birds of a feather flock together. Not long ago, I was sitting in a meeting where there was a man discussing something. And he said, well, he was talking about the souls that went to prison, was in prison. He's just bringing an example here. If you just listen for just a briefly here, that Jesus went and preached to after his death. And this man that was speaking said, well, what do you think about that? And the colored brother raised up. He said, well, that's just what the Bible said. He went and preached to souls that were in prison. Said, what do you think it was? Said, it was souls that didn't repent in the long suffering in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, just like the Bible said. So they're having fellowship around the word, and they're bringing up the same things. There's a connection there in their fellowship and their discussion. He said, no, said, that's this church preaching to those Pentecostal people that's in these denominations and everything, bringing them out of prison. So now God was doing something. He was helping him to see something there, right? Because remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's not a God of history. He's a God that reveals himself today. And so those scriptures came alive to this brother. And he said, he's preaching to those Pentecostal people that's in those denominations, bringing them out of prison. He said, now looky here, brother. He said, Pentecost wasn't even mentioned there. He said that. He just said that he went and preached to the souls that were in prison. So I said, amen. That's right. And the minister looked around at me and said, birds of a feather flock together. I said, that's right. Brothers of like precious faith, believing just what the scripture says is the truth. Now he's bringing something very deep in here, because remember, the scriptures is our Urim and Thummim, right? And nothing can go out of the scriptures. Contrary to the scriptures, right? But you see, Brother Branham was trying to teach us something. Remember that God sent this prophet to show us something. And we've just read it in Revelation chapter 10, what his mission was to do. And so he said something very deep. He said, we must read between the lines. So he's not making up something. We're not making up something. But it's in there, but it's hidden, but it's got to be revealed. Do you understand? So it's there, and it's not contrary to the scripture, but it's something deep that must be brought out. Do you understand? For example, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It's a scripture. There's only a couple verses there. But you see, the manifestation of Malachi 4, 5, and 6 was very, very deep. And it spoke. There was something between the lines that we were able to see through the message of the hour. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's only two scriptures there, right? And so the same thing, you know, Jesus Christ, he was written about in the prophecy in the scriptures about what he would do. And there's a handful of scriptures about Jesus Christ. But when he came into full manifestation and he was here on this earth, he came exactly according to the scriptures, but he was in between the lines so that they could not catch the mystery that was in between the lines. And so this brother, he had caught something. And he had caught the Jesus of his day and said, he recognized the scripture, the souls that were in prison, but he recognized that he was talking about the denominational system and how they had to be brought out of prison. And you know, you see that there was a prophet here who had the Spirit of God who said amen to that. And there's times when we talk, God is speaking to us. And remember, God always confirms his word in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so, you know, God reveals something to us. And there's a kindred spirit that confirms that word. And there's another one that confirms that word. It's going exactly according to the scriptures, but he's showing something, the continuity, the unity, and what he's showing between the lines. Because we've got to see beyond this printed book. We've got to see the revelation of what was hidden in the book. Do you understand? And the only way to know what was hidden in the book is to be close to the Lord. Remember, he says, remember I read that quote in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He said he's trying to reveal this to you. He has a desire and you're hungry for it. But there's things that are obstacles that are getting in the way. You know, the only time that we can really, remember, he speaks in a quiet, still small voice. If you remember the scripture about Elijah, how he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in this big thing over here, the thunderstorm or what have you, but he came in a still small voice. Because God, this Holy Spirit, is a very timid Spirit. If you understand, He only comes, you know, when, you know, things are open and welcome for Him to come. He won't force His way in. And so we've got to get into a condition where all the distractions are gone. It's just you and I, one-on-one with Him. We've got to get into a quiet place when God can speak to us. You know what I mean? Elijah, he got away from all the distractions and all the other things of the world, and he got into a secret place, and then God was able to speak to him. And so those things, you know, your family, your housewife, your job, and all those different things, those are natural things, and those are not sinful. But they're pure, righteous, and all those different things, but they can be a distraction, and we've got to get away, break away. Do you understand? You know, even you know, we can get so tied up with things of church and business with church and fellowship and different things that we forget the main thing. Because all those things are secondary. The primary thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ and getting into that secret chamber and being alone with Him. And so he mentions this. He says, let me see, because my time is running out here. He says this in You Must Be Born Again. He said, excuse me, I was watching the light moving around you through the building. Make sure I got this. No. This is a, bear with me here. Okay. This was a confirmation of the commission, 1962. So he's in a prayer line again. He says, the Lord knows your troubles. He knows me, knows you. We're a man and woman standing here meeting our first time. With the Spirit, you are a Christian. And I can feel the vibration there was with your spirit, you know, just moving. And I know you're not a hitchhiker. You're a Christian, you see. So then that's what I mean. Hitchhiker is just jump from place to place. You know, you're born again, see? You're a real Christian. Amen. I can feel your welcome, you see. And the Holy Spirit here welcomes that spirit because it's a kindred spirit. He identified her as a Christian. But you see, it wasn't him that recognized she was a Christian. It was a spirit of God that was announcing and recognizing that that person was a Christian. And so Brother Branham received, or the people and Brother Branham received a revelation that this woman was a child of God. I'm just going to briefly read this, but this is, and I believe you all understand the concept, but in Divine Love, 1956, Brother Branham talks about this. He talks about the atmosphere that's projected, right? So he says, trying to make sure that I get to the heart of this. Now, the reason that is, okay, there's atmospheres around the individual that we create. You are a miniature creator because you're sons and daughters of God. No matter how far you stooped in sin, you're still sons and daughters of God. So he talks about, I'm just going to paraphrase here just to save time. But he talks about people that they can be very nice people, but they project an atmosphere that you don't want to be around them. You know, and they're nice people, he says. But he talks about a true child of God who has the Spirit of God in there. And they project something. And it's an atmosphere, it's the Spirit of God that's projecting itself. It's projecting love. It's projecting joy. It's projecting a atmosphere of Jesus Christ. And so if that atmosphere is allowed to project itself further, it will bring the fruits of Jesus Christ, you understand? And so you remember that he gives different examples, as we know, Brother Branham, because I'm not going to go into that, but when that Spirit of God was projected, it brought a calmness in Brother Branham's family. It brought an animal to its knees that was trying to attack because it was a opposing spirit that was trying to come. A man that had a demon spirit was trying to come up to Brother Branham. It had that demonic spirit But when that love, that Spirit of God was projected, it had to bow down to that Spirit.
Right.
And so a true child of God projects that, and that's an indicator that that person is a child of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is giving us He's giving us the ability to see Christ in this day. You had to get a revelation of who the prophet was in order to believe what he was saying. Because if you don't have a revelation of that, you can't fully believe what he's saying. You can't fully have faith in what he is saying. And so then it's going to hurt you. And so you must have a revelation that this man was a man sent from God. And it's not just a nice guy. It's just not another minister that was sent from God. But this man was fulfilling a scripture. And so the children of God that recognize that, they're going to fully embrace that. And then we're going to see the fullness of Christ. And so the same thing, I believe that, you know, I'm just going to say this, you know, and I'm not saying this is I'm just going to say it. You know, God gives us a revelation of where we are to be. God gives us a revelation of what church we're to go to, what pastor we're to be under, and different things like that. Why? It's because God has you positioned in a certain place to receive something, to grow, and what have you. But you have a specific need in your life, and your life must be fashioned in a certain way. God's got to have children in Washington, D.C. God's got to have children in the Midwest. He's got to have children in China and all different parts of the world, right? But God had to put them in position so that they could manifest Christ in the way that he had thought in his mind. And that's why it's so important that we follow the will of God, because he's supposed to put you in a certain place, a location. He's supposed to put you under a certain ministry. He's supposed to, because he's trying to express himself all over the world in these different locations. Because he has to manifest himself to the world. Let me just move on. I just lost what I was trying. Okay, here it is. And so, you see, God revealed to me personally about being here. God revealed to me personally about Brother Mike being pastor. You know, there's pastors a lot of different places, but God put me here under this ministry for a reason. And then you can see the fruits, because you can see that under that you begin to see that God begins to move in your life. God begins to move in your family's life. And it's a positive thing that goes along with this message of the scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but you see, I had to believe who he was. Do you understand? Because I could not receive his preaching. I could not receive it fully unless I recognized that and had faith to believe it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe the bride of Christ has faith in each other. They believe one another because they're part of Christ. Do you understand? Now, I'm just going to draw a picture real quick, but you see, we're all, you know, seeds that are all everywhere, right? And we're all, you know, spread all over these locations, and everybody is at a different level of maturity, and some have yet to even see Christ yet. Those are those last seeds that must be reached. And so as we're growing up, you know, there's part of us is flesh, and part of us is the Spirit of God. And it's that flesh part that begins to rub and have friction with other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's the human side. But God wanted us to understand there was a human side and there was a spiritual side. And so the connection that we are to make is on that spiritual level. But you see, this comes and it gets in the way, right? But you see, this must be overcome. And so some people are up here, They are. They're a little bit further along. They've gone through life. God showed them different things. They've been through different trials and tribulations. They've been beat up. I believe trials are very good for us. The reason why is because they make the Word of God real to us. You know, they cause us to dig down and really see what God is trying to say. It takes, you know, experience to see the Word make alive to us. And so we can have a revelation, but it's not fully cemented until we go through something where God begins to show the reality of that Word. And many times it has to come through a trial. You know, there's a lot of things that we learn through a trial because there's pain involved. There's emotions involved and different things. And so it's deeply seated in us. But you see, when you go through those things and you go through crisis, then you won't forget. Do you understand? And so, you know, there's people that are a little bit further along and they've, you know, you notice they're very calm. And I can't go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but, you know, I believe us as Christians should use that as a measuring rod of where we are at in our Christian walk. And maybe I'll just close with that because I don't have time to finish this. And perhaps the Lord will let me finish this next time. But in verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. And so if we find that we're impatient with other people or impatient with life and, you know, why isn't this happening? Remember, there's two sides too. Because there's a knowledge side and then there's a reality from our heart. Because we can say the right words, you know, we can say, you know, I love you, brother, and I'm praying for you, but there's a difference when it's truly coming from the heart. And you have a deep desire, a deep sincerity, a deep longing, a deep love for this brother. And you say, I'm praying for you, I love you, brother, you know, versus just saying it. And so there is a real suffering long and a patience. It's not a toleration, but it's something that's there that just flows. Remember, the Spirit of God cannot be manufactured. It must flow through us naturally. It must be a part of us and it a part of us, us a part of it. And it's kind. Charity envieth not. So, you know, the flesh envies. No, I don't care no matter who you are. You know, young person, older person, you envy. And that's the flesh. You see someone do well, there's an enviness there in the flesh. You know, you see somebody that's your peer, you know, God is blessing them, whether it's spiritual or natural, there's an enviness there. You know, but the Spirit of God takes us away from that. Do you understand? But you see, it's not us saying, like, I shouldn't think that way, but it's a natural part of us. We don't envy. Do you understand? It's completely removed from our life. And so that is the condition. So, you know, when we're down here in, you know, different stages of our life, they can be true children of God, but they have the flesh that's there that hasn't been able to be submitted. Do you understand what I'm saying? They haven't gone through the trials that's necessary to shape that character. And so we can be premature or immature to say, I don't know if that person's a child of God when they are, just because of the stage of maturity that they're in. Do you understand? And so we, you know, let's all stand because I've run out of time. But charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And so, you know, there's a human desire that we want to be recognized. We want to be looked at as, you know, we did something or we're special and stuff. But this scripture speaks against it. And so the Spirit of God is away from all that. Remember, it's got to be all Jesus Christ and none of us, right? And so, but naturally it comes. Naturally you feel that way, but we've got to get further and further away from it. And so we've got to, the way to do that is to get more into Christ. And let Him begin to shape us and mold us and different things and away from the distractions. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we Thank you for your word. Dear Father, Lord Jesus, the hour is at hand, O Father. And Lord, the press is great, O Father. Lord Jesus, we need to put away the things, the distractions, O Lord Jesus. I need to do that. We all need to do that, O Father, and become more focused on you, O Lord. Help us, dear Father. Help us to see what you're trying to show us, O Father. Help us to see your will, O Lord, in our life, and to walk in that way, O Lord, because we know that we have to express and fulfill the purpose that you had in mind for us, O Lord. And we can only do that if we're walking lockstep with you. We love you and thank you, O Father. Lord, bless the service, O Lord, the preaching of the word. O Lord, may you anoint it and speak to the people, O Father. And let the hearers also be doers of the word. Let the song service, O Lord Jesus, the musicians and everyone, O Father, that it can be a meeting that brings glory to you, O Father. Everybody fulfilling their position and their place, O Lord. And Lord, contributing to the worship of God. We thank you for all these things. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Just be seated, dismissed.